Rainmaker FM.
This podcast is brought to you by copyblogger.com. Words that work. Build your online authority with powerfully effective content marketing. Get superior content marketing education so you can build a remarkable online presence. Head over to copyblogger.com to learn more. That's copyblogger.com. Hello there. It is so good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media, and I share additional writing as well as a complete additional archived podcast over at remarkable-communication.com. And I am joined today, I am so delighted, by Belinda Weaver of CopyrightMatters.com. Belinda, how is your day going?
It's going really well. Thanks for having me, Sonia.
Super, 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 super. I thought about having Belinda on over to the podcast. I was talking to Robert Bruce, and you guys have heard from him recently. He is now doing a lot of client work over at Rainmaker Digital Services. And he mentioned that he had had a chat with Belinda. And we know Belinda from our live event. It was awesome. She's really super and fun. We talked to her about doing something, and she'd had great success. And I knew I wanted to bring her on to talk about it. So let's dive into the, drum roll please, the Great Content Repurposing Project.
Hooray!
Hooray! So maybe just start by telling us, like, what was this crazy advice that Robert gave you, and how did you react when you first heard about it?
Well, the advice was to switch my fortnightly blog email out to subscribers to a daily email. Now, you know, we're just going to be talking about content repurposing, and I've always done a lot of content repurposing, but a daily email using my blog posts and going through my archive, which is the repurposing angle, was a new idea for me. And there's a few people who do it, and they do it really well, but I was skeptical. I thought, daily, who wants daily emails? Like, I know my inbox is a constant war. And I know, Sonia, you and I had a bit of trouble arranging a time because both of us are missing emails. So I thought, I don't want to be that person being a negative influence into inboxes. But I gave it a go, and it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
So kudos to Robert.
tell us a little bit about the after. Like, what are you getting out of this project?
Well, it's been really good to go through my blog archive for a start and just see what I have written, because I started my blog in maybe 2013, and I would make a date with myself to publish a weekly blog, and I rarely missed that. It was only about, you know, 2017 that I pulled it back to fortnightly. So it was really good to go through my archive and remind myself of all the work that I had already created for people. What I'm really finding valuable and what is the most rewarding part of doing the daily email is the amount of engagement that I'm getting now. Because I used to send out a weekly or fortnightly blog, here is the blog, and I, you know, played around with an excerpt and I played around with the full post and things like that. But I rarely got replies, and people rarely emailed me and talked to me. So now I'm getting reviews on Facebook, reviews on LinkedIn. I'm getting people recommending the daily draft to their friends and their network. I'm getting people replying to my emails almost every day, so much so that I have to actually schedule time to reply to the people emailing me. And I'm finding that quite incredible.
Yeah. And you actually took down your lead magnet. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So I used to have an ebook of copywriting tips that led into just a regular email with the blog post. But now the only incentive is daily emails from me.
Yeah. Which goes against, I mean, it goes against all the conventional wisdom.
It goes against
all, you know, it's very counter to the trend. And I think that's, well, first of all, few people anywhere, unless it's a big company that has a team, few people anywhere are ever going to do this, because it feels like, oh, that's much too much work, Belinda.
Yes.
No, sorry, pass. So you're going to stand out almost whenever you do it. But yeah, this fascinates me. And so you're still getting the signups, even though you don't have a conventional opt-in incentive, you still get the signups. People are signing up to hear from you every day.
Yeah, that's right. And I would say my subscription rate took a dip when I launched because a lot of people unsubscribed, although not really a lot when I was crunching some numbers. When I actually launched, I had 150 people unsubscribe over a week, which at the time I was like, oh right, my gosh. Yeah. But actually, in terms of the whole size of the list, it was only 5 or 6%. So right, it wasn't really a big number. And since then, people have become more connected with me. And the longer the email sequence goes on, I'm kind of narrowing the list to people who really, really want to hear from me. And they miss the emails if I ever miss if I take a break or whatever.
Right.
So that's kind of nice. The engagement is really strong towards the end.
Now talk a little bit about what you use your email list to promote. What are what are you selling on your list, and how do you sell?
Well, I don't actually, one of the things I'm quite deliberate about is I only sell to people who have opted in to hear about a specific product. So the Daily Draft, which is my daily email, is really just content and value and giving. And I have one call to action on each email, which directs people to find out how I can help them. But I encourage people to opt into specific product launch lists, mm-hmm, if they want to find out about my product. So I have my course, the Copywriting Masterclass. I have my private mentoring group, Confident Copywriting, and I'll customize the call to action in my emails as they're relevant to the content to direct people to those specific products. But I am not always selling to the people who just want content.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. My first thought was like, I'm going to totally do that. And then my second thought was, when am I going to do that? How is that going to happen? Because I, like you, I do have a lot. I have a pretty lengthy archive. So how do you do it? How do you, is this like 3 or 4 hours of work a day? I mean, how much work is this every day? And do you do it every day or do you batch it up? What are the mechanics?
Batching is the key to it. So when I launched, I actually had 3 months of emails ready to go. So I put in a lot of effort before I started because I knew I just wanted to get it started. And, I wanted to be responsive to the people who wanted to talk to me about it. And I wanted to be available because in my first email, I ask, what led you to, what's the copywriting frustration that led you to sign up to this daily email? And I wanted to respond to those, and I do still respond to every single one. So I had a big chunk ready to go, but of course that just dwindled. So now I'm much closer to when they get published. And basically I have 2 content writing dates a week where I have I do the daily draft on Tuesdays and I do the daily draft on Thursdays. But if I don't hit both, that's fine. But at least once a week, I grab a blog from my archive and I break it up into short emails. And that's the key. I'm not sending out one blog in one email. Right. One blog is turning into 3 or 5 or 7 emails. And then I send those to my proofreader. And then I share the link with my VA who puts it in my email tool. So, I'm very big on outsourcing to people who can help me make it happen. But I just try and have a weekly date where I tackle it and I get a little bit ahead and then sometimes a little bit behind, and I might sneak in an email saying, hey, we're having an implementation week. I encourage you to go back and read some old emails. And that's me saying, I got nothing this week.
Right.
Catching up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so clever. So I'm curious, is this an autoresponder? Does everybody start at the first message, or is it just an ongoing real-time, I guess, broadcasts?
It's an autoresponder. So everyone starts at the first message. And the reason I did that, it just seemed easier from a logistics and an admin point of view than managing. Because with my email tool, to have people hook into today's email meant that I would have had to send a broadcast out every day, right. Whereas an autoresponder, I can kind of plan a bit of a journey as well. So the longer people are on an email sequence, the more sophisticated some of the tips are as well. So it was just easier to do an autoresponder.
Yeah. I'm still thinking, oh, I really want to do it.
I could do this.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, for people who didn't start blogging in 2013, you could do the same version and just have it be for 30 days. You know, I mean, that's a thing that can happen. Now you, I think, started off 7 days a week and then you pared that down a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So it was daily draft, one email every day. And then I had a small number of people go, oh, hey, you know, I'm finding I'm getting a bit of a backlog. Can we switch these to just weekdays? And I thought, you know what, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because between Friday and Monday, I mean, realistically, we're all checking our emails over the weekend, but we don't want to. And so I didn't want to have three emails waiting on Monday, because then people really start getting behind. So I switched them to weekdays. And that seems to work very well. And it works well for me too, because it's two more days up my sleeve for the next week.
Right. Now your launches for your specific products, do you do those on like a launch model? So you just a few times a year you do them, or do those go into an evergreen launch sequence?
I have closed launches, which means, I only open like my course opens twice a year and my private mentoring group opens once a year. So I might do some little quiet launches to people on the wait list, but generally speaking, they only open a couple of times a year. I'm excited by the idea of evergreen, like an evergreen funnel. So it's something I'm kind of looking into, but it's a new shiny thing. And I'm also going, just settle down, Belinda. You don't need to plan a new thing. So I think it's about picking the right launch model for the right product.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's very cool. And there's so much opportunity to add automation when you want to, you know. Everybody who clicks a link on topic A, you could send them to an interesting little sequence. Cool. That's very cool. Let's talk a little bit about, you've got this blog archive. Do you do any new blog content? I mean, are you still posting new blog posts?
Well, what I do is when people, because I'm kind of following along with the daily draft sequence as well, because I want to make sure the emails are going out and I want to see where people are up to. I actually republish the blog that fits with the daily draft sequence. Now, everyone's going to be at different stages. So I'm republishing the blog, but I'm not necessarily publishing new content. What I am doing is I am creating a list of blog topics that I'm excited to write about. So what I'm thinking of doing is actually starting, because I'm going to reach the end eventually, I'm going to start writing blogs just kind of quietly and having them ready to go. So then new emails into the daily draft sequence will match up with new blogs, new content as well.
Yeah, cool.
Because I miss it.
Yeah.
I like taking an idea and writing up a post and sending it out. And I have, you know, I kind of laugh about my blogging goggles where I'm kind of walking around the world thinking that would make a great blog topic.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got a few of those. And I think I'm just getting the itch again to publish something new.
Yeah, there's nothing like a break to make writing actually enjoyable again. I was impressed by the list of things you do with a blog post. You squeeze a lot out of a blog post. Can you talk about, you take a blog post and you turn it into up to seven emails. What else do you do with these little creatures?
So blogs get shared on social as well. But of course, we all know that if someone just happens to be looking at LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter when you publish, that's great. But that's not what happens for most people. So I have a spreadsheet of all my blog posts with a Facebook update, a LinkedIn update, a Twitter share, but then I also break out little helpful tweets from the post, because from every post you could have, you know, 5 to 10 tweets of just little tips. So I have those as well. And my virtual assistant schedules those to just go out all the time, where she's just constantly going through my archive. And having a spreadsheet with all that information there means it's all there for her. I share it on Instagram. And I write it as a LinkedIn article. Then for some of them, I'll create a YouTube video. But what I do is I do it as a Facebook Live on my phone.
Smart.
And then I save the video and then load that up to YouTube. So I'd love to do that with LinkedIn as well, because LinkedIn has a, you know, a live feature. But if you load a video up to LinkedIn, it has a cap on 10 minutes. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to get video onto LinkedIn using their live algorithm. But yeah, I try and get as much, because I feel like once you've put the effort into a blog, you want to squeeze as much out of it, as you said. So yeah, that's what I do. As many things as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how many emails have you sent since you started your daily draft?
Oh, let me have a look. I have it open here. It's nearly 200 actually. I think it's about 187.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so we're recording this in 2019. And how far are you up? How far are you through your blog archive?
I'm up to 2015.
So you've got quite a bit still,
yeah,
to,
that's right,
still to do.
And I don't, not every blog makes it into the daily draft. Like there's a lot of blogs that are timely and topical, but they're not very educational. There's Christmas posts and New Year's posts and, you know, this and that and awards, and that's not great daily draft content. So I'm quite selective. I only pick the ones that I think will be valuable. But yeah, I'm only halfway through.
The other thing that occurs to me about this is it's also a really brilliant search engine optimization technique, because you're going back to this content from 2013, 2014, and making sure it's like, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's all relevant. Yeah, the links are all still good. Oh, that link needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great SEO practice, but nobody does it because it's, you know, it's just, unless you're getting something else out of it, it's hard to make that time. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I'm also creating new featured images for the blogs that fit mm-hmm. with my kind of new style of images.
Yeah.
But, you know, halfway through my blog, I switched from a .com.au domain to a .com. So a lot of the links, between, you know, my interlinking was with my .com.au domain.
Yeah.
So I'm going through fixing all those up and adding any new linking opportunities that I can find, and just tightening up the copy, because we get better the more we write.
Yeah.
And so some, you know, when I started, I'm reading my post going, gosh, I had a lot to say here. I think we can cut this down.
Yeah. Or that thing that you thought was so funny and you're like, oh, yeah, that wasn't funny.
Yeah. Still developing the writing style, Belinda. Keep at it.
That's what I do. I'm like, oh, I thought that was hilarious back then. I'm just going to edit that right out of there. Yeah, I love this. So any words of advice for somebody who, you know, maybe didn't have such a consistent, you know, you have a pretty impressive depth of your archive. Most people don't. Any advice that people might be able to take and just implement some of this if they don't have quite that big a backlog?
Well, I think if nothing else, if you're creating a blog, then repurpose it as much as possible. Don't just share it once and let everyone find it on their own. You know, send it out on email at least once, but share it on social media, turn it into videos, break it down into tips, but also don't feel overwhelmed that you have to do all the things. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the biggest bits of advice. We often look at other people going, oh gosh, they're on Instagram and YouTube and they're doing this and blah, blah. And I can't do any of that. So, you know, take the blog and start sharing it in as many different places as you can. But if you're interested in increasing the emails that you send out to people, I would say create a backlog so you can get started and you've got a nice little well of content, but also make sure that they're quite short.
Yeah.
Because no one, I mean, we all say it doesn't matter how long or short it is as long as you're providing value. But the truth is, people open an email and like they open a blog or anything else from you, and if it's too long, they go, whoa, I'll come back to that later.
Right. Yeah.
So really think about the kind of emails that you like getting and how you like to read them and how long they are, and try and create that experience for your readers too.
You know, it just occurs to me talking to you that this would also be really wonderful content for Facebook Messenger, where I think you can load it in just pretty much the same way you do as an autoresponder. So, well, the other thing I think you're super smart about, and I think if you're going to do this to the extent you do, or even, you know, partly, sensible outsourcing.
Yes.
You know, create that process and then get somebody to help you with the, just the physically getting it from here to there, I think is just very smart.
Yeah, because things like proofreading, well, I'm a terrible proofreader, so I have to outsource that. But loading emails into my email tool and loading updates into scheduling for social media, it's not super hard work, but it's very time consuming, and that's not the best use of my time.
Yeah.
So if you push for time, get people to help you do it. And I guess the other thing I'd highlight is that if you're going to up the frequency of the emails you send, you're going to get people unsubscribing. And so you need to kind of steel yourself for that,
right,
and remind yourself that it's a good thing, because I don't like it when people unsubscribe. Don't go. But the people who are with me now are really engaged. They want to hear from me. They want to talk to me. And a lot of the time people have said, oh, I signed up for your course, I joined your mentoring, because you replied to that email. I never expected you to reply to that email.
Yeah. It's great. It is. It's a wonderful moment of just real connection. Yeah.
Mm. And I've talked to people about, oh, you know, people have said you should get other, you know, your VA to answer your emails for you. And I don't think I can. Like, I think the replying and having conversations with people on email is such a strong point of connection. It has so much potential that I don't think I want to give that to someone else.
Yeah. I do my own on my Remarkable Communication site, and we have somebody do it on Copyblogger, and it makes a big difference in how connected you feel to the audience. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we could talk about this for a long time, but I think this gives people something to get started. I love how counterintuitive it is. I love how doable it is. So if you guys start to see, you know, an email a day from Sonia Simone or an email a day from Copyblogger, you'll know that I stole this idea directly from Belinda, but this is my officially giving her credit, because I think it's for people who are creating good relationship-based content, I think this is a really cool thing to try. So
yeah, that's right. And if nothing else, do an experiment with it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you can always do it 30, 60 days, you know, something like that, and just see. I would give it enough. How much time do you think you should let the experiment, just to give it a fair chance? Because you are going to get unsubscribes at first, and, you know.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I think I gave it 3 months. I said to Robert, Bruce, I'll try it for 3 months and we'll see what happens. And that was enough time that people got into a rhythm with the emails, that they got through the overwhelm and they started incorporating it into their daily life. And I know that because that's what they told me.
Right.
So I think 3 months is a really good stretch to really see how it goes. But if you have a 30-day project, that's a nice round number.
Yeah.
It's like a 30-day challenge or something like that.
Yeah. That's
really doable as well.
Yeah. I love it. Well, Belinda, thank you so much. I'm glad we caught up with each other. As she says, her email box and my email box are not pretty places. So it took a little back and forth, but I'm so glad that we managed to catch up with one another and
yeah, me too.
Get this conversation. Thank you all for your time, for your attention. Let us know if you think this is the craziest thing you ever heard, or you think you're going to give it a try. You can pop over to copyblogger.fm and let us know. We would be all about it. And Belinda, remind people where they can catch up with you and find out what you're doing.
Sure. It's my website's my home base, copyrightmatters.com. And that's where you can give the daily draft a whirl if you want to get some of those daily emails. They're all about copywriting and marketing and being a freelancer and stuff like that. And I also have tons of free content. There's mini courses and blog content, and if you're interested in copywriting and mentoring, there's information there too. It's all on the website.
Nice. Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Take care, and all my Copyblogger FM people, I'll catch you next week.